It's your breath in our lungs, so we pour out a praise, pour out a praise. It's your breath in our lungs, so we pour out a praise to you only, God. Great are you, Lord. Come on, one more time. Let's sing it. Say, it's your breath in our lungs, so we pour out a praise. Pour out a praise. It's your breath in our lungs, so we pour out a praise to your holy God. Great are you. Malachi 4 verse 6. Malachi 4 verse 6. I read from the New International Version, Malachi chapter 4, verse 6. And it reads as follows. He will turn the hearts of their parents to their children, and the hearts of their children to their parents, or else I will come and strike the land with total destruction. Total destruction. I'm going to read it from the King James Version because I'm so spiritual. Amen. I'll start taking it from verse 5. See, I will send. Let me just take it here. Sorry. King James Version. It reads as follows. Behold, I will send you Elijah the prophet before the coming of the great and dreadful day of the Lord. And he shall turn the hearts of the fathers to the children, and the heart of the children to their fathers, lest I come and smite the earth with a curse. Somebody say, I am children. I am children. Father God, this is your word. It is blessed in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Praise the Lord. I have the great responsibility of speaking to the fathers and speaking to the youth. I believe that God will minister to us in a very, very profound manner. You know, when we think about Father's Day, for many people, it's what our generation will call a trigger. And that is to say, not many people grew up with fathers. Particularly in, you know, communities of color, for lack of a better word. Many of the families that people come from are single mother-headed homes. And it's quite unfortunate. It's quite unfortunate. And one of the consequences of such is that we have become a generation that struggles with fatherlessness. A fatherlessness is not just the absence of a father in the home. Over time, it also becomes a spirit. The same way that, you know, you can experience rejection. And when you experience rejection and you don't appropriate it accurately or correctly, you can begin to host a spirit of rejection. And much of your life becomes a case of, let me prove the haters wrong. And that's not the type of abundant life that God has called us to live. Your life is not meant to be a rebuttal for those who rejected you. Can I say that again? Your life is not meant to be a rebuttal for those who didn't accept you. You know, when Jesus Christ was raised from the dead, he doesn't go back to those who killed him and say, hi, haters. He went back to his disciples. And then he said, come on, put your hand where I was nailed. And the idea was that even though he went through the whole cross experience, God had completely healed him. Now, many of us have grown up in homes where the father was not there. And there's a void that's now in your heart. You don't quite know what to do with that particular void. But I've got great news for you that from the word of God today, we'll begin to find an antidote for fatherlessness. And that is in Christ, we have been refathered. Can I say that again? In Christ, we have been refathered. Let's say it together. In Christ, we have been refathered. Maybe just to kickstart our story, can we quickly go to Genesis chapter 16? Genesis chapter 16. We'll start reading from verse 7. Genesis chapter 16 from verse 7. The angel of the Lord found Hagar near a spring in the desert. It was a spring that is beside the road to Shur. And he said, Hagar, slave of Sarah, where have you come from and where are you going? I'm running away from my mistress Sarah, she answered. Then the angel of the Lord told her, go back to your mistress and submit to her. The angel added, I will increase your descendants so much that they will be too numerous to count. The angel of the Lord also said to her, you are now pregnant and you will give birth to a son. And you shall name him Ishmael, for the Lord has heard your misery. You know what was quite interesting about Ishmael? Was that Ishmael was a son of compromise. It was because according to the calendar of Abraham, God was taking too long to come through on his promises. What is scary is this. Is that God blessed his compromise. And hear me out. This is not the perfect will of God. It's actually a word of caution. That even though we may step out into places of compromise and whatnot, and there's a certain level of blessing that we're functioning, it doesn't mean that it's the perfect will of God of our lives. And you know, much of the troubles that we have in the Middle East are because of this particular compromise. You know, I found something very interesting about how Joseph was sold into captivity. And what was interesting was that he was sold by the Ishmaelites. And what I found is that one generation's compromise becomes another generation's bondage. Can I say that again? One generation's compromise becomes another generation's bondage. What crawls in one generation walks in the next generation. And what walks in the next generation runs in the next generation. Come on, David, you are struggling with the opposite sex. But this is what's going to kill Solomon. Listen to this. The angel of the Lord said to her, you are now pregnant. You will give birth to a son. You shall name him Ishmael. For the Lord has heard your misery. He will be, listen to this. He will be a wild donkey of a man. His hand will be against everyone, and everyone's hand will be against him. And he will live in hostility towards all his brothers. I would like to submit that one of the things that caused this is the compromise of fatherlessness. When someone grows up in a state or in a space where they are fatherless, there are chances that this person might walk around with a chip on their shoulder, wanting to prove to someone that, hey, I'm good enough. Because there are many Ishmaels who are out there, and the question they're asking themselves is, why did daddy not love me? Okay, maybe let me also speak, because we are predominantly people of color here. One of the things that we don't realize, and at times we focus on Ishmael, And we fail to focus on Hagar. And that is, inasmuch as we agree that Ishmael was rejected, for lack of a better word, Hagar was also rejected. And what you have is that you have an ecosystem and an ecostructure of rejection. One is without a husband, and the other is without a father. And maybe let me speak to the fathers. I don't mean to come quite heavy on you. Oftentimes we are expected to give what we never even had ourselves. We're expecting a generation that never received the love of a father to pour out fatherhood into other people. Now, I want us to look at our core scripture. Let's go into the book of Matthew chapter 3. Matthew chapter 3. Matthew chapter 3. Matthew chapter 3, I'll start reading from verse 13. Then Jesus came from Galilee to the Jordan to be baptized by John. But John tried to deter him, saying, I need to be baptized by you, and do you come to me? Jesus replied, let it be so now. It is proper for us to do this to fulfill all righteousness. Then John consented. As soon as Jesus was baptized, he went up out of the water. And at that moment, heaven was opened. And he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and alighting on him. And a voice from heaven said, this is my Son, whom I love, and with him I am well pleased. Now, I need us to note a few things here. Jesus never received an open heaven because he was able to jump high, or because he called and said, let the heavens be opened. The heavens were opened because he fulfilled all righteousness by submitting himself to process. The way up, as one person puts it, is the way down. It's amazing how the heavens were open when Jesus allowed himself to be submerged in water. Now, I need us to catch this. Jesus is baptized. And when Jesus submits himself to the process of baptism, and now maybe let's do some theological work. He was not doing it because he was repenting of sin. He was doing it to enact what would happen to every man who would believe in him. And that is to say that the old man would express that. Paul says that I've been crucified with Christ. I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. I've been crucified with Christ. The Bible says he who knew no sin became sin so that through him we might become the righteousness of God. Jesus never went through water baptism because he needed to be washed of his sin. He was showing us that by him dying on the cross, we would experience an open heaven. Now, hear this out. Jesus is baptized. And when he is baptized, the Bible says at that moment, heaven was opened. He saw the Spirit of God descending on like a dove and alighting on him. And a voice from heaven said, this is my Son, whom I love. With him I am well pleased. The King James Version talks about, this is my beloved Son. This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. I need you to take this. God never said, this is my beloved Son, because Jesus had turned water into wine. God never said to Jesus, this is my beloved Son, because he had multiplied the 5 loaves and the 2 fish. God, the Father, never said to Jesus, this is my beloved Son, because he walked on water.
No. He says, this is my beloved son before there was even any performance. In other words, you are not working for my love, but you are working from my love. You are not working towards a place of acceptance. You are operating from a place of being accepted. But check this out. We all know of the Immaculate Conception. We understand that Jesus was born of a virgin. We understand that, right? If you don't understand that, we need to talk. He was born of the Virgin Mary, which meant that Joseph was not his real father. Oh. Those who grew up in those type of atmosphere or environment will know that even though the father is there, he's not really there. Do you have a father? Yes, I have a father. His name is Joseph, but is it really your father? Ugh. When they ask Joseph, how many kids do you have? Joseph probably say, including Jesus. I've got James. I've got Jude. I don't know, maybe when they were serving portions, I don't know if Jesus would get a lot, but some people have bad stories and how they grew up in those type of spaces. Now, I want to say this without sounding sacrilegious. Please hear me out. Hear me out. I'm not trying in any way to undermine the person and the Lordship of Jesus Christ. Can I say that under normal circumstances, there was possibly a father wound there? Come on, Jesus. You know that Joseph is not your father. My father is a carpenter. Jesus, is he really your father? Huh? Is this really your father? There's a show on SABC called Utatako, where they check DNA test. If Jesus went for DNA test, Austin Power, I'm your father. Who remembers that? If you had to go on Tatako, it would say, ish. Okay, let me even take you back. Can you just imagine Mary saying to Joseph, I'm pregnant? Huh? Who's the father? The Holy Spirit. Hi, Mary. Hi, yeah, yeah. Hi, yeah, yeah, yeah. Hi, yeah, yeah. Well, what are you talking about here? That what had happened here was a scandal. And possibly a wound. Can I speak to someone who didn't grow up without a father? Jesus gets you. Jesus understands. Jesus has been through the pain that you've gone through. The Bible says we have not a high priest who is unable to empathize with our weaknesses. Have you been in a home that is not quite conventional? Jesus has been in such a home. But what is interesting is this. God says, before you step into ministry, I need to affirm your identity. Okay, maybe even let's talk about what a good father Joseph was. Because also there are some people here who are probably raising kids who are not their own. You are doing well and we want to give you props for that. But here's the thing. After the age of 12, we never see Joseph. We don't know when he passes on. We see the relationship that he has with his mother. But what about the relationship he's meant to have with the father? There were two particular instances that needed to happen in the life of a Jewish boy. At the age of 12, there would be what we call a bar mitzvah. They still do it. And that is to say, you've basically come of age. We see that in the book of Luke. But there's also what happens at the age of 30. And at the age of 30, what would happen is that a father would stand up and affirm that he's the father of a child and say, this is my son. And he would then say, you no longer have to deal with me. You can deal with my son. But where was Joseph? But God says, look, I don't want you to minister from a place of your wound. That place where Joseph could not minister to. I, Father God, will minister to that. Can I speak to somebody this morning and say to you, you are not without a father. There's one man who said, the absence of evidence is not the evidence of absence. And that is to say, just because you didn't have a natural father, it doesn't mean that God was saying, go without. He says that I'm a father to the fatherless. I'm a husband to the widow. There is someone in this place. You need the affirmation of the Lord that you are accepted without performance. You are loved without performance. I don't love you because of. I love you in spite of. Oh, have you seen new parents? They believe their child is the smartest kid in the world. Like, is she not so cute? Like, she is cute, but like, you haven't seen my daughter. But I cannot be objective about my child. She's too pretty. She's too talented. Oh, can I tell you something? Even the father, he says, I cannot be objective about you because I see you in Christ. If any man be in Christ, he's a new creation. Behold, all things are passed away and all things have become new. You are loved. You are accepted. You are celebrated in spite of what you didn't have. God is saying, allow me to become that. You are not without a father. I know he might not have been around, but God says I was with you. When you walk through the fire, I will be with you. When you walk through the floods, I will be there, and they will not sweep you over. We talk about the fourth man in the fire, but what if I said he was the first man in the fire? Jesus, or the fourth man, that as we call him, didn't come in because the three Hebrew boys were there. They found him in the fire. Now, in the scripture that we just read, God affirms the sonship of Jesus. I'm black, right? I don't need to adduce evidence. I'll never forget this one time. Baby, I think I might cry. I know you're watching. Okay. So we started going to a quote-unquote white church. I got saved at Rivers. Went to a conference there. Attended what they call Mighty Men's Conference. And there was this man of God from Australia by the name of Danny Guglumuchi, if I'm not mistaken. I went there with my father. Whew. And he said, anyone who's here with their son, I need you to look at your father or at your son. Every father, look at your son and say to him, I love you. Whew. That broke me. We come from environments where we think showing affection is not keeping it real. Some of you fathers were there, but they were not affectionate. And at that moment, my father told me, I remember
It's something that stayed in me. My dad was good. He's a good father. He's still around. But that moment, it was not a very Shangaan moment. It ruined me in a good way. But I needed to hear it. I don't know if Joseph was able to tell Jesus, "This is my beloved son in whom I'm well pleased." Some of us here who grew up with a father figure around, but we don't know the joy of affection. And God the Father is saying, "I cannot have you minister without knowing the affections of a father." Let's close it off on this thought. Matthew 4. Matthew chapter 4, I'll start reading from verse 1. The Bible says in verse 16, Matthew 3, verse 16, that at that moment heaven was opened and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove. The Spirit of God descended, it landed upon him. But in Matthew 4, verse 1, the Bible says, then Jesus was led by the Spirit. Let me say this. It's not enough to be filled with the Spirit. You need to be led of the Spirit. The problem is that we have people who want to experience being filled, but they don't want to experience being led. The Bible says he was led of the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. After fasting 40 days and 40 nights, he was hungry. The tempter came to him and said, "If you are the Son of God." What I've seen is this. What the Father affirms, the enemy attacks. The question was not, would Jesus have the capacity to turn stones to become bread? The question was, are you really the Son of God? The question is, are you really affirmed in your position as a child of God? He was hungry. What many of us fail to understand is this, is that most temptations want to put a dent on our issue of position and sonship. And Jesus had learned that I don't have to perform to become a son. I'm a son. The Father told me that I'm a son when I was baptized. When I submitted myself to his process, he told me that I'm a son. And you know what was so fun? One of the things I've seen about the enemy is that he tries to shortchange us. He says, if you be the Son of God. But God didn't say, this is my son. He said, this is my beloved son. So he was trying to short circuit even in the very words that the Father had spoken over Jesus. This is my beloved son, if you be the Son of God. The question is, are you really a son of God? And you know what was so interesting about it? He didn't let his hunger tell him who he was. The Bible says he was hungry, but he never allowed his hunger to determine his identity. The problem is that many of us, we think we are what we are struggling with. Can I say this again? Many of us will even take our temptations and say, I was born this way. No, you are tempted that way. Okay. You are not what tempts you. And you know what I love about it? Listen to how Jesus replies to this. Jesus answered, "It is written." Woo! He didn't say, "I feel." The problem is that many of us feel instead of saying it is written. Remember, Eve was tempted in such a fashion. Did God really say? Guys, we answered, "Did God really say?" by saying, "It is written." I know that I'm feeling a certain way, but it is written, by His stripes we were healed. I know the bank account says a certain thing, but it is written, my God shall supply all of my need according to His riches. Do you have in you, it is written, to answer to the lies of the enemy? It is written, I'm blessed in the city, blessed in the country. It is written, I'm a lender, not a borrower. I'm the head and not the tail. I'm blessed in the city. I'm blessed in the country. I'm blessed coming in. I'm blessed going out. It is written, no weapon formed against me shall prosper. It is written, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. I might not feel it, but it is written. It is written, man shall not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes out of the mouth of God. I live but by the word of God. Thy word have I hidden in my heart, that I might not sin against thee. Your word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. How can a young man keep his way pure? By living according to the word of truth. Was it not Job who said, I've esteemed your words above my necessary bread? It is written. Hey, I'm a person of it is written. My future, it is written. My blessing, it is written. My health, I wish above all that you may prosper and be in health. It is written. I can do all things through Christ that strengthens me. It is written. Now unto him who is able to do exceedingly. Come and praise him. Let's stand up on our feet. Come on. Yeah. Oh, come on, just stand up on your feet and thank him. Open up your mouth. Come on, open up your mouth. Give him praise. Give him praise. Give him praise. The Lord is healing someone in this place. Open up your mouth. God is wanting to affirm you. They might have said, but it is written. Come on, come on. Open up your mouth. Open up your mouth. I know you say you're an introvert, but what does the word of God say about you? Are you going to live based on what you believe of yourself? Or are you going to live on what God has said about you? This is my beloved son, in whom I'm well pleased. I am pleased in you because of the finished work of Christ. Your family might not even include you. They might not call you for family meetings. But God says, I see you. I know you. I knew you before you were in your mother's womb. I set you apart. I appointed you to be a prophet to the nations. The Lord will say unto you, you are fearfully and wonderfully made. Very briefly, I want to do this. There are some people here who really need an affirmation regarding their sonship. There are pains you've gone through around this aspect of fatherhood. Some of you are now even fathers, and you don't know how to pour from that. If that's you, just raise your hand. I want to pray with you quickly. If that's an area for you, just raise your hand. I'm seeing a hand. Yeah. I want to pray. Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, I pray for those who need to hear the affirmation
that they are enough in you and that they are loved by you. Lord, heal the wound of fatherlessness. May they know that they are accepted and that they are celebrated. So, Father, I speak the blessing of the Lord over their lives. In Jesus' name.